In these turbulent financial times, securing your investments with gold and silver needs to be done today, before the next crash. Go to RepublicMonetary.com for our free information kit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Make them remember, we are not afraid!
A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us, even when pressed by the demands of inner truth. Men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. And I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. What do they think as we test out our latest weapons on them, just as the Germans tested out new medicine and new tortures in the concentration camps of Europe? Now that is little left to build on save bitterness. We are met by deep but understandable mistrust. To speak for them is to explain this lack of confidence in Western words, and especially their distrust of American intentions now. The world now demands a maturity of America that we may not be able to achieve. This way of settling differences is not just. A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. Somehow this madness must cease. We must stop now. I speak as one who loves America, to the leaders of our own nation. The great initiative in this war is ours. The initiative to stop it must be ours.
Things haven't changed much since Dr. King said those words, have they? My name is Jet Lacy. I'm filling in for Ernest Hancock on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. I'm glad to be with you on the Liberty Radio News Radio, and we're going to have a really good show today. I'm going to first introduce myself, let you get to know me a little bit. I've been doing the board operator for Ernie's other show, and Ernie had to go speak at the Oath Keepers convention today. It was a late addition that he was added, and we're going to be talking about the Oath Keepers a little bit later in the show. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about the economy, because that's what is really first and foremost on our minds here, because our dollar is the way that we put our foot forward and say, hey, we're a country, we're open for business, and this is what we're about. I'm also going to be talking about constitutionalists like Pastor Chuck Baldwin. So we're going to have a really good show today. Myself, personally, I am pretty new to the freedom movement. I joined because I went to an End the Fed rally a little over a year ago in November. I mean, almost a year ago. So I haven't even been in the movement for a year yet. So, So I went and I heard Ed and Ernie speak. Ed Vallejo is a friend of mine, and then Ernie, and I heard him speaking on the Fed and what it was about. I understood that the Fed was a really bad entity, and I understood that, you know, they were using the ability to print and create our money at will against us. And by doing that and having full control, a private entity having full control over our money, has caused us this problem and to go into decline since 1913 when the Fed was first created. So I don't mean to go to another clip, but I think it's important. I want to talk about the banking crisis that we're having. And you hear in the news all the time that the banking crisis is over, the economy's coming back. It's not true. It's a sucker's rally. What they're doing is getting everybody all the TARP money and all the $23.7 trillion that they have given to the banks to prop up the economy from the bad bets that these banks have made have kept us afloat for a very short amount of time. And when you figure our gross domestic product in this country is around $12 trillion a year. That's every dollar that's earned, everything that's produced, everything. They have given the bank in 8 years or so twice that. On top of all of the unfunded mandates, and which is like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, that we just don't have the money to pay for. And since we don't have the money to pay for it, we're not going to. Eventually, that's why they're trying to take over healthcare, which is another 17% of the economy. So what I want to talk about is even the mainstream news is starting to understand that we're a sinking ship. We are in very, very dangerous times. We are about to head into hyperinflation because our dollar is a doomed vessel, and it's being done on purpose because we aren't able to pay the debt back. There's only a couple ways in which to do that when you don't have the money. One is to debase the dollar or our currency. It's done all the time in various countries, but it's never happened to us. So there's a gentleman, Dylan Radigan, from CNBC, which I'm no fan, but he's starting to come around and do these stories about the banking crisis and all that. I don't, you know what, when I look at the show clock, I don't really have the time for that yet, but I'll do it in the next segment. What I do want to talk about is, you know, the cost of everything going up when they're debasing the currency. You know, they think that it makes people think that the Dow and everything is going up, but the commodity prices are going up as well. And that's exactly what they want to happen because they're trying to inflate another bubble. Because these central banks make money on the way up and on the way down because they start lending out this cheap money and they give it to people willy-nilly. They print it out of thin air and they make massive, massive amounts of money on the way up. And then on the way down, they've made all that money and everybody starts to lose what they've accumulated and default on their loans. And then they're able to pick those assets up for pennies on the dollar. So that's exactly what banks like Goldman Sachs, the reason they made $3 billion in the last quarter was because they took the bailout money that we gave them and bought real assets with it. And they've further, as well, gone back into the speculation market, which has also caused the price of commodities and various things to rise, along with the decreasing dollar, which makes the price of the commodities rise. That puts us in a pretty precarious situation as Americans, but for the banks, it puts them in a pretty good position. So what we've done is it's all called the carry trade. What the tidal wave of liquidity flooding out of the Fed is floating everything. And commodities are the most obvious example. It's all being done by something called carry trade. And that is the fact that you borrow cheap money to buy either better money or assets. And so much money is flooding the world that some foreign bankers and policymakers are warning the Fed to knock it off, but they're not going to do it. But all of this is the reason that the cost of commodities are going up, and it's very dangerous. It's a very, very dangerous, like when you want to buy something, you know, candy, say for Halloween, and the price of the cocoa has gone way up, that means the price is going to be passed on to you after the manufacturing process. So all these things are pretty precarious times that we're living in. I'm going to try my best to make things a little more clear for you as we go throughout this 2 hours. And we'll be right back on the Declare Your Independence show on Liberty News Radio. My name's Jet Lacy, and we'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Hey! One man, one goal. And welcome back to the Declare Your Independence show. My name's Jet Lacy. We're sitting here in the beautiful Freedoms Phoenix studio. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix, in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you, I wasn't saying beautiful Phoenix about a week ago. It's just now getting cool. It's been hotter than the devil around here for a long time. And it's just now getting nice, and everybody's out and about walking around. And I don't know, everybody crawls out from under the rock from whence they came in the wintertime here, just like they do in the summertime elsewhere. Getting back to what we were talking about with the Fed creating asset inflation. And you know, when we talk about the different types of commodities that there are, like, say, oil. Since December, with oil past $80 a barrel, that is actually up 150% from December. Is that in 1 year's time? I mean, this just goes to show you these things. Commodities in this amount don't tend to fluctuate that much without some sort of intervention or, you know, meddling in the market. And that's really all that's going on. Everything that's going on in the market right now is basically a sucker's bet. It's totally set to make you lose money and them gain money. You know, gasoline, wholesale prices are up more than 40 cents in just a month. Can you believe that? 40 cents has gone on up, you know, per gallon of gas in 1 month's time. Corn up $1 a bushel, wheat rising, soybeans rising, sugar rising, near a 26-year high. And but it doesn't just mean higher prices at the pump. It means higher escalation in heating bills, pricier bread, more expensive cereal. And you know what? The Federal Reserve policymakers couldn't be happier about the situation. They want prices to surge. In fact, they are deliberately pursuing reckless monetary policies and a strategy of dollar debasement in order to ensure that we get another round of asset inflation. Why, you might ask? I mean, right? People think that the Fed is out for us. No, the Fed is a privately owned bank. It has been that way since its inception in 1913, which is why my man Ron Paul, the only politician I've ever admired, is the first time he put in an audit or end the Fed bill was 1983. And this is the very first time he's actually had any piece of legislation pass the House. And that just goes to show you that this is a gentleman that is a strict constitutionalist. When he took his oath of office, he meant it. And no other politician. I urge you to call in to the Liberty News Radio call-in line at 866-986-6397 or 866-986-NEWS. And I'd like to hear from all of you. I'll take any call, no matter how wacky or whatever crazy stuff you got to say, I'd love to talk to you. I really like to bounce my ideas off people, and I like to have people bounce their ideas off me. That is the basis for a free society, is the free exchange of information. It is the very basis of the First Amendment to the Constitution. And I love to talk to people. I'm a former nurse that got in trouble with marijuana. I don't feel bad about it. It's just the way it is. I was always a good nurse. I didn't know I was a libertarian until later in life, but I never believed in committing force or fraud on another human being. I always cared about people. I always advocated for my patients, but I got caught with a plant matter and, you know, that I paid for it with my own money that I never stole anything from. I never hurt another soul in my life. I was a caregiver. And here I am doing a radio show. But you know what? Life leads you in weird ways, and I don't regret anything that's happened to me. I've grown exponentially through this process, and I think I've emerged on the other side a better person. And I guess that's really what life is about. It's not the destination, it's the journey. And what I'm talking about here is it helped me open my eyes. When I lost my rights tended to become a lot more important to me. And it just goes back to the old saying, is that you don't know what you got until it's gone. And that's so true on so many levels. But what the Fed is doing is manipulating the markets, manipulating our dollar, manipulating everything that they get their hands on to the benefit of their banker friends and banker owners, and to the detriment of society. Whether you know it or not, there is a revolution already going on in the United States. There is going to be revolution. And the I don't know, Ernie's probably said it to you. I learned it from Ernest. I'm sorry if I call him Ernie because he's my friend. And, you know, I know this is a proper show, and I'll do my best to call him Ernest because that's what he is on the radio. But I learned this from Ernest that, you know, the revolutions always start in the mind. In the mind first. It's a state of mind first. It's like, I am not going to participate in these shenanigans any longer. I don't care what may come of it. I am not going to participate in this broken system any longer. And there is a growing number of people in this country, day in and day out, more and more, every single day, that are rising up and declaring their independence. And that's the reason Ernest named his show Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Like he says, you can declare your independence with me. You can declare your independence by yourself. It doesn't matter. It's an individual thing no matter what. Independence, the very definition of the word, is you are of your own free mind and you can make your own choices to do whatever you see fit in your life. And you know what? That's something worth fighting for. As far as I'm concerned, that's about the only thing worth fighting for. All this religion and fighting over oils and fighting over different territories, to me, that's a waste of time, energy, and life. Life being the most important thing. And the fact of the matter is banks, these banks that are the same people that created the Federal Reserve, are the same banks that have backed both sides of every war since, God, I don't know, at least World War I and probably before that. And if you don't believe, I urge people not to believe one thing that I say here today. I urge you to take what I say and go and look at it for yourself, because I don't believe what I read. I've trained my mind to not believe what I read, see, or hear unless I have further proof for myself. And I urge you to do the same. It's very liberating, you know, because my tendency was originally to want to believe what people tell me all the time. I have faith in humanity. I have faith in people. But I just, in this stuff, especially with regard to my freedoms and my life and my family, I just don't believe it anymore, and I just can't do it. So I urge you I beg of you to look into what I say for yourself. And if you don't believe that corporations like Ford and IBM and ITT were not only funding, you know, and continuing their operations for the Nazis in World War II and making money over here, you got another thing coming because they were doing it. The IBM actually created the system to track all of the Jews and the gypsies and everybody else they had in the concentration camp with their earliest computers. And they, the Nazis, used that to track everybody. And that's just the way it is. That's well-documented fact. And when we get back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show, we'll be talking a little bit more about the Bank of International Settlements, which is the premier central bank of all the central banks. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star, leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of the
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. I tell you, I never played that bumper when I was doing the show. I feel strange that I'm not wearing a leotard somehow, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, my name is Jet Lacey. I'm here filling in for Ernest while he goes up and speaks last-minute engagement at the Oath Keepers Convention. And it was, you know, it's very important. We're going to get into the Oath Keepers a little bit later about what they're about. And there's certain things that they have made a stand that they are not going to tolerate, you know, unconstitutional orders. These are former military and current military and former and current police that took an oath to the Constitution, and they have vowed not to break it, whether they are current and active or not. But anyway, I'd like to go to this clip of Dylan Radigan again, and I've edited it to suit my own needs, but the content is still the same. It just, there was a lot of extra verbiage in there, and I just wanted to get to the meat of what I was trying to say. It's just about 4 minutes long, and I'm going to play it for you right now.
It is extremely unlikely that the taxpayers will see a full return on their TARP investments, not to mention, this is my reporting, the TARP investments are a fraction of the money that is still being delivered to subsidize these banks from FDIC insurance on assets that are then being used as gambling chips to pass through money from AIG that is basically being hidden from the taxpayer. That market behavior is bound to be impacted by the massive infusions of government capital into the very institutions that caused the crisis. We all know what this is. Too big to fail is bigger than ever. They can take bigger risks than ever, and yes, we, the taxpayer, will pay for that. Why is the U.S. taxpayer still legally obliged to subsidize the so-called proprietary trading, the gambling habits of those who work on Wall Street? Citigroup, $387.9 billion from the TARP, none of it paid back. These are the numbers I wanted to discuss with you. If we can get the graphic, that'll be helpful to people at home. AIG, $181 billion, 72 paid back. Why AIG exists or has equity? You know, its stock is up, Neil. Do we own any of that, by the way?
We don't own the common stock, but we do have what is the equivalent of an 80% interest in the company. So, indirectly,
so are you
yes.
getting profits back from AIG?
I think AIG has missed its dividend payments.
All right. Bank of America, $100 billion, nothing come back. J.P. Morgan, $70 billion, $25 billion has come back, but again, it doesn't account for the collateral at the Fed. Goldman Sachs, $53 billion. $10 billion has come back in, and then, so that's the direct money in, and then we have how we're funding the banks. The banks were able to take their lousy assets to the Federal Reserve and trade it in like goodwill, that garbage bag I did so long ago on this show. $8.2 trillion. The Federal Reserve is buying mortgage bonds on behalf of the Federal Reserve to support the mortgage market. The Federal Reserve, as you know, is a huge buyer of U.S. Treasury bonds because we are selling so many of those. The Federal, that number includes the Treasury purposes, short-term lending to corporations, commercial paper. That includes, as I mentioned, direct subsidization dislocation of the national mortgage market using the Federal Reserve, which even though they claim to be outside of the domain of the American people, that money has to come from somewhere conceptually. The Treasury Department, $6.8 trillion. These are now trillions, sir. That money we've discussed. Some of it was for the TARP, et cetera. FDIC insurance, $2.3 trillion. That would be $2,300 billion. Yeah, $2,300 billion. I'm sorry. So if I give you a few billion, I'd have $2,000 or $3,000 billion left over. $1.3 trillion in joint accounts and another $650 billion miscellaneous. That was probably just to give out to our friends. Total $23.7 trillion underneath the banks. And it is still legal in government for proprietary gambling at places like Goldman Sachs to go by the multi-trillion dollar position, to bonus themselves for assuming trillion dollar positions using taxpayer-sponsored assets in reserve. Why is that still legal, and what's going on with all this money?
Well, I think the problem is one of the, you know, the TARP is a highly criticized program, but at least it did have some restrictions on executive compensation. All those other programs that you just went through, FDIC, Federal Reserve, none of them have any restrictions or conditions on executive compensation. So while Goldman is out of the TARP, you know, Goldman is an example, but all these banks, well, they may be out of the TARP having repaid their funds, and they are still most certainly the beneficiaries of programs like FDIC guaranteed debt. There's no conditions on those terms, and there's no conditions on how they use their money. As
my next question is, once we understand, again, $8.2 trillion at the Fed, $6.8 trillion, these are trillions. I won't reread it. You know these numbers, but I fear most people in America don't know these numbers, which is why I reread them. If we're providing this capital as taxpayers to Goldman Sachs and other banks, and those banks are legally, openly gambling however they want because their bonuses get bigger if they're able to bet bigger bets, just like I went to Las Vegas. If I go to the $100 table and I win, I make more money than if I go to the $5 table. And the reality is the U.S. taxpayer, as you know, is subsidizing Goldman Sachs and other banks to play at the $100 table in Las Vegas, and they and Goldman Sachs and others can do this willy-nilly on behalf of hedge fund clients and other speculators with the knowledge, the fact that taxpayer dollars will be there to support the multi-trillion dollar losses when they incur them. What's the fix? I think more and more people, unfortunately, in this country understand exactly what this problem is, and I assure you more of them will, because once you understand this, it's impossible not to be utterly enraged.
I know I'm enraged. And what is it going to take in this country for the pitchforks to come out? I don't know. If it's not that, $23.7 trillion being taken off of our backs, our blood, sweat, tears, efforts, everything, our future, our past. You know, they're taking all the retirement accounts and we're going to be paying off this forever. You know, they have taken, I didn't think you could steal someone's past, but they seem to have done it. They've taken your retirement accounts. I think that's stealing all the past money you saved up. They're stealing your future because we're going to be paying this off for forever. And they've sure ruined our present, now haven't they? I don't know what it's going to take in this country for the pitchforks to come out and people to get mad. It doesn't. The government doesn't even matter. The Wall Street has hijacked our government. They own our government because we've allowed it to happen. And it's all right until it's too late, you know, and it's not too late now. And that's why I urge all of you to declare your independence and stand up for yourself and your family and do something about this. This is just absolutely ludicrous behavior, and everybody's just standing by with a doe-eyed stare. And you know, people that, like me, I've burned bridges with a lot of my family members saying this kind of stuff, and everybody in this freedom movement has done the same thing because they're in denial, and they don't want to hear it. They just want to go and watch Dancing with the Stars, and if they feel like you're ruining and raining their parade, then they don't want to talk to you anymore. There is not one person in this freedom movement that I haven't met, that I've met, that hasn't had one person turn their back on them and say they don't want anything to do with them anymore. And that's really sad. And we're like, all right, well, you know, you'll see. And everything that I've been saying for the last year or two, you know, I've been figuring this stuff out longer than before I got active. But once I really got into it, and I tell people the truth, I don't have anything to gain by this. You know, I'm not doing this radio show every day with Ernie. This is a volunteer thing. Because if we don't do something now, we are not going to have a future. There is no future to be had unless we do something about our current situation. Because they are a parasite. They are taking everything. And there was plenty enough in this country for them to us to be the host and for them to parasite off of us. But now we are on our last legs. And a parasite knows that if the host dies, they die, unless they jump to a new host. And what they're doing now is trying to make the whole world into their host. And that's exactly what's going on with this new currency, the special drawing rights at the IMF, and all this healthcare business. And there is a new world order out there. And they're saying it in the news all the time on the mainstream media, which is owned by the same very same banks. And we're doing nothing. You know, there's a gentleman, he was on the show just yesterday with Ernest, Lindsey Williams. And I like that gentleman. Everything he says has come true, even though he can't divulge his sources, just like, but that's true with many journalists or anybody. You know, it would be a death knell for him if he divulged his sources. But what he says comes true. And he says that the elites of the world are laughing at Americans. Because we are no longer the home of the free and the land of the brave, or land of the free and home of the brave. It's been so long since I felt that way about this country, I forgot the saying. But I urge every one of you to really consider about what is happening in this country and what we are doing to ourselves by doing nothing. It's just maddening. I look around and see people just not caring and not getting what's going on in this situation, and it's strange, you know. Our standard of living is dropping off the shelf, and no one seems to care. We'll talk about it more when we get back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. My name is Jet Lacy, and I'm sitting in.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
That's right, we all want to change the world. My name is Jet Lacy, and I'm filling in for Ernest on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show here on the Liberty News Radio. I'm trying not to say the name of the other one that we do in the morning, so it's Liberty News Radio. And I'd like to get into talking about the Bank for International Settlements. And the Bank for International Settlements is the central bank. Again, the Bank of International Settlements is a private corporation, and it's owned by the other central banks around the world, a few of them, and that's it, you know, and a couple of banks from the United States, like J.P. Morgan and First National Bank of New York and First National Bank of Chicago. These are private organizations that own the right to print money as they see fit. You know, and in the light of the ever-present and unyieldingly persistent exclamations of an end to this recession and a solution to the crisis and a recovery of the economy, we must remember that we are being told these things by the same people that not only created the crisis, they were the ones that were saying that the economy was basically sound and it had a good foundation and the fundamentals are fine and that there was no danger of an economic crisis. But why do we continue believing these people that were not only wrong and lying to us, are doing this to us? And you see, like, President Obama wants to give more money and power to the Federal Reserve. The Senate today was trying to enact legislation to raise the debt ceiling. they are just incurring more and more and more debt to try to debase our dollar. So when it comes time to pay the piper, our dollar is worth nothing, and we still owe them the same amount of literal dollars, but the dollars are worth nothing. So what is the Bank for International Settlements? I talked about it a little bit, but it was founded by the central banks of Belgium, France, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Japan, and the United Kingdom, along with those other J.P. Morgan, First National Bank of New York, and First National Bank of Chicago. Each bank subscribed to 16,000 shares, and the three U.S. banks also subscribed to the same number of shares. However, only the central banks had the voting power. But just to think that J.P. Morgan and company owns part of the largest central bank that controls all of the other central banks, and yet we gave them bailout money, and we gave them money under the table to keep them afloat. So this is where the racket lies. Not only are they the ones that caused the crisis, not only did they create all this money that they're debasing, these same banks that are privately owned and privately operated that failed also own the central banks that we're bailing out too. And it's just ludicrous. Henry Ford said in the 30s, and Henry Ford was no good guy. Like I said, he was one of the ones doing business with the Nazis during the World War II. They actually gave him a big award and yada, yada, yada. But he said, and one of his more famous quotes was, if the people understood the monetary system, there would be revolution overnight. And this is when the Fed was like 10 years old. They had already debased the dollar by then. They had gotten us fully off the gold standard. And by getting us off the gold standard, that was really the death blow, because then they could start printing money that wasn't backed as much by anything. You know, when you have to have $1 worth a certain amount of gold, and when it first started, you could actually take your greenbacks, your dollars, and go to a bank or go to the Federal Reserve and get the same amount of gold back. But then, you know, the Franklin Roosevelt, which, you know, he's often hailed as a hero, but of course he's going to be hailed as a hero when you grow the government for these people more than the government had ever been grown until George Bush went ahead and did it, that he made owning individuals in this country, owning gold, illegal. So people had to turn in their gold or else be subject to criminal actions. And the fixed price of gold was, I think it was like $24 an ounce or something like that. And as soon as all that was over, they quickly raised the amount of gold to $35 an ounce. So they automatically made money right off the bat. And this is all the Federal Reserve doing this to regular Americans. And then they had to buy worthless paper for their gold. Welcome to America ever since then. And more and more and more and more, they have kept debasing our currency until now it's almost worth nothing or worthless. When the Federal Reserve started in 1913, our dollar was worth a dollar. It's now worth about 4 cents and dropping compared to what it used to be. And that's just really, really sad. But getting back to the Bank of International Settlements, they're in Switzerland. They were established to remedy the decline of London as the world's financial center by providing a mechanism by which a world with three chief financial centers in London, New York, and Paris could still operate as one. Elitist Carol Quigley explained, and this guy wrote a book. It's actually a pretty wild book. He was actually given the keys to the kingdom because he was one of them, but he wrote a book explaining exactly what the elitists were up to. And he wrote, but the reason they said, why did you do this? And he said, because no one will believe us. And it's right. They still kept on and kept on doing this, even after Carol Quigley wrote this book that was all true. He wrote, The powers of financial capitalism had another far-reaching aim, nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands, able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. This system was to be controlled in a feudalist fashion by the central banks of the world acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at frequent private meetings and conferences. Hello, G20. The apex of the system was to be the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, a private-owned bank and controlled by the world's central banks, which themselves were private organizations. And that is his own words, and he was one of them. And that's the name of the book is called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. It was written in 1966. This book has been around longer than I have. I was born in 1968. So the truth has been out there. He wrote it in plain English. I mean, it doesn't get any plainer than that. That they have plans for us to take over the financial centers of the world, which they have. And the fact of the matter is, America was the last to fall because we were the strongest. And we are the only country left in the world that's well-armed. And that's the problem. They don't know. They would have rolled over us like with a steamroller if we didn't have guns. And that's the one thing the founding fathers were so wise about. The Second Amendment is not about having a hunting rifle. It's not about having something to, you know, protect yourself from a burglar. It's about having the tools to protect yourself from human nature and government. When you mix human nature and power, you always have problems. And people, it's just human nature to increase the amount of power that you hold. It's just when you get some, you want a little more, you think of these ideas, and a lot of these things is really amounts to, with some anyway, the politicians, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. When you want to take power to make things better, that's never an altruistic reason. But people say they do it all the time. So, anyway, Carol Quigley spelled it right out. And the BIS, or the Bank of International Settlements, without a doubt, is the most important, powerful, and secretive financial system in the world. And they are warning. They are the only ones throughout this whole crisis that have basically been telling the truth about what's going on. You know, in an article from the UK Telegraph in September of 2009, the BIS reported that the global market for derivatives, which you hear about that in the news all the time, is basically the bets that they make on the ups and downs. That's how they're making all this money. Rebounded to $426 trillion in the second quarter as risk appetite returned. But the system remains unstable and prone to crises. So what they're saying is the bets out there on what's going to happen in this world, are bigger than the amount of money that there is in the world. So when we get back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show, we're going to continue talking about the Bank for International Settlements. Then we're going to get to the Oath Keepers. So I hope you'll stay with me, and we have a minute going out here. So we will keep talking about that, and if we get a chance, we're going to talk about you might be a constitutionalist if, according to Pastor Chuck Baldwin, the constitutional candidate for president in 2008. We'll be right back in just a minute, again, on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. Be right back.